This is something I think that my wife and I have both understood. We understood it a long time ago, and so that's why relationship has always been so important for us. We've always sought relationships. We've always built deep relationships everywhere that we've went. And I remember it was about this time last year, actually, no, a little bit more than a year ago, we were on a road trip to visit family and friends in BC. At that time, we lived in Alberta, so it was just a hop, skip, and a jump away. And we were just connecting with people, building those relationships. But also in the back of our minds, we were sort of saying goodbye, because we knew that we were scheduled to candidate out here at this church. And we knew that if things went well, most likely we would be moving. So for us, it was sort of like saying goodbye to people that we knew that if we moved, we wouldn't be seen for a long, long time. And we wouldn't have the same closeness with again. And so that was actually one of those things that we were struggling with. And we were debating whether we would actually serve God if He called us somewhere that would cause us to move away from all those relationships that we had spent our whole lives building. And so it was during that trip that I had a dream. Now, not all dreams are from God, and I'm not saying, you know, we should make more of it than they are, but sometimes God does speak to us through dreams. The Bible's clear about that. And in this case, I had a dream, and it was so significant, and it was so emotional that I knew it was God speaking to me. And so I woke up, and I won't bore you with all the details, but I wrote it down, and I prayed about it, and I thought about it. And the conclusion was very simple. God was saying, I'm going to be transitioning you to another place. And you are going to be breaking and losing those relationships that you have. But don't worry, because I'm going to give you another relational network in the place you will go. And it will be just as strong as the one that you've built in this place. But it's going to take time, and you're going to have to work for it. And so when I got up, I immediately went and told Lacey, because that's kind of something that we'd been struggling with, right? And I said, I think God is reaffirming to us that we're to go, and He's calming our biggest fear, which is, what are we going to do about relationships? You see, when it comes to our relationships, it's so absolutely important, because they're a part of our very fabric as human beings. And we know this because God has created us as relational beings right from the beginning, because He created us in His image. We see this from the creation accounts in the first two books of the Bible, the first two chapters of the Bible in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And this is what it says. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over all of the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. The Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky, and He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. And so the man gave name to all of the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, He took one of the man's ribs, and He closed up the place with flesh. And the Lord made the woman from the rib that He had taken out of the man, and He brought her to the man. So here we see that God has created us for the purpose of being in relationship. Right? Because it says right here in verse 18, it is not good for the man to be alone. See, up until this point in the creation story, God had been creating a lot of different things. And everything that He created, afterwards He would say, it is good. So He creates the light, He says that it's good. He creates the land, He says that it's good. He creates the fruit and the vegetation, He says that it's good. He creates the land and the sea animals and all those things and the birds, and He says, it is good. Then He goes and He creates human beings, and then He says it's not good. He says it's not good for man to be alone. So you see, something all of a sudden is not good. And we know this to be true in our hearts, because deep down we know that relationships are the most important thing. And we know that without relationships, we miss something, some part of us that makes us human, some part of us that we were created to be if we don't have that. In Romania and many Eastern European countries, there's so many orphans that are forced to be institutionalized that there's just not enough resources to go around. There's not enough staff to take care of them or enough resources to hire those staff. And so often these children, up into their early toddler years, they're kept in these cribs. Many of them all lined up. And they only have enough time for a nurse to come around and to feed them and to change their diaper infrequently throughout the day. That's it. And they get none of that relationship, that cuddling, that talking to, that you would get from any normal family. And what ends up happening to these children is that they actually end up in these semi-catatonic-like states where they become very unresponsive, and many of them actually die. And so people studied this, and they came up for a term with it. They call it failure to thrive syndrome. And what they discovered is that although physiologically all of their physical needs are being met, that what is causing these children to suffer and to die is simply a lack of relationship. That is the factor. And I could go on, I could give so many other examples in this world that prove to us the fact that we desperately need relationships. It's a part of who we are. This is just one small example. And so we must ask ourselves, well, why is that? And I think the answer here is very simple. I think the answer comes to us from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. It's because we were created in the image of a relational God. In the image of a relational God. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. See, the entire time up to this point in the narrative, God is using the singular personal pronoun I to refer to himself. And now all of a sudden, as soon as he comes to creating human beings, he changes. And now he uses a plural pronoun, us and our. Right? So God, for the first time, is referring to himself in the plural when it comes to creating human beings. Our God is a God who exists, as we know, in perfect relationship, in the Trinity. That's what we call it, the Trinity. And that means that God is three in one. He is one, yet he is three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And together they exist in perfect unity in relationship. And that's what makes our God so unique. That our God is totally 100% self-sufficient, yet at the same time, he is not an individualistic God. Our God is a God of relationship. And therefore, if he made us in our image, then we are also made for relationship with other people. We see this because God said it is not good for the man to be alone. Therefore, relationship is at the core of who we are, and we are never more complete than we are when we are in relationship with other people. Because we were created in the image of a God that is not just a me, but an us. And so we will never be complete just as a me. We are complete only as an us. And what's also interesting is that just like our God, we are tri-relational beings. Yes, that is a word I made up. We are it makes sense. We're tri-relational beings. Meaning that we're supposed to be in relationship with God. It's us, God, and other people. Us, God, and other people, right? Just like the Trinity, right? We're meant to have these. And if we don't have one of these pieces of the puzzle together, we will feel somewhat incomplete, right? Somewhat void. And this is very interesting because it goes against the grain of our culture and our society. Because you know that if you live in Canada in the 21st century, you currently live in one of the most individualistic societies and cultures that has ever existed in all of history. Do you know that? Right? So it's kind of a strange phenomenon. And so often we think to ourselves, well, it's all about me and it's all about my personalness, individuality going on. So if I just have a good personal relationship with God, just me and him, then I'll feel complete, right? And so we go about and we do that, yet we feel as though we're incomplete, and because I think this actually isn't what Scripture's saying. Scripture's saying that we do need a relationship with God, but we also need others, and we need both of those things. The Bible says that when Adam was alone in the garden, it was not good. Now think about the implications of that for a second. So we have Adam in the garden. Okay, so the garden, it was what we would refer to as paradise. It's the Garden of Eden, right? So you have all the best food. You got the best views. You got everything you would ever want. You have the most creature comforts that anyone has ever experienced. You're here in paradise, and yet it's not good. And he had respect and power, too. I mean, this guy was basically the king of the world, right? He had reign and dominion over all the animals, over all the livestock, over all the plants and everything. He had dominion over it all. So he had all power and he had all authority. And you say, well, did he have a relationship? Did he have that relationship with God? Well, of course he did. In fact, he had a better, closer, personal relationship with God than anyone had ever had because there was no sin. Right? There was no sin to corrupt and get in the way of that relationship. So here we see, here's a guy living in paradise, perfect relationship with God, yet it was not good. Therefore, something was missing. And that piece, of course, was human relationship. So unless you believe that God made a mistake on purpose, which I don't think there's anything to indicate that he did, we need to realize that God intentionally made us in such a way that we would need other people in order to be complete. Like, that's how he designed us. He designed us in a way that even a relationship with him would not be enough to make us feel whole. And he did that on purpose. And so the question then is, okay, so great theology, but what does all of this actually mean? What it means for us is that relationship is so key. It is key to survival, as we have seen. But it's also key to thrive. It's not just key to survive, it's key to thrive as people. Therefore, if you are not happy in your life, if you feel empty or incomplete in some way, if you are sad or unfulfilled, chances are it could have something to do with your relationships or lack thereof relationships. Maybe you are relationship deficient. Now the world tells us, hey, if you want the Garden of Eden life, if you want happiness and joy and pleasure and a close relationship with God and all those things, if you want all that, it's easy. You just take all this time and energy you're wasting on people, you put that on the back burner, you pull up your bootstraps and you get to work. That's what we think in our culture, but we couldn't be further from the truth if that's what we believe, right? It's so interesting sometimes how when we're feeling, you know, like the most depleted, those are the times that we tend to withdraw from other people. When we're feeling hurt and sad and we're struggling. But yet, according to the Bible, that's the opposite of what we should be doing. We should be drawing closer to other people because other people, relationships, is part of what we need. When it comes down to it, relationships are the most important thing. And I think there's something interesting about death that is able to highlight the most important things in our life. And when it comes to death, relationships are key. It's all about relationships when it comes to death. If you're on your deathbed, you never hear anyone say, you know what, come, you know, I'm about to die, I want to see all my stuff again. Could you just bring it in? I just want to see my car one last time. I just want to go for a spin, you know, an old Roxanne, you know, bring her on. No, people ask for their loved ones to come around them. And who comes around them? Is it their stuff? Is it their accomplishments? Is it their trophies? No. It is the people who they've built relationships with. Those people are the ones who come around you when you're on your last legs. And who shows up at your funeral? Again, it's those people who you've built those relationships with. They say you can tell a lot about a person by who attends their funeral. Sometimes all you can tell is, this, hey, this person outlived all their family and friends. But sometimes it shows how a person chose to invest their life. Did they choose to invest their life in building relationships and loving and caring for other people and building into them, investing in others? Or did they spend their lives self-focused? Personally, I think it's a great practice to live your life for your funeral. Something I try to do. And all I mean by that is live your life for others. Live your life committed to connecting with other people, spending your time with them, caring for them, loving them. Live for that. That is how one should spend their lives. And this is because there is nothing more important than relationships, because relationships, did you know, are the only thing that you get to take with you when you die. And so a good question to ask yourself is, would this person attend my funeral if I were to die tomorrow? Because, see, I think that's a good indication of whether we've moved past just interacting into actually building a relationship. Because, you know, there's a whole lot of difference between just interacting with someone, between just being a Facebook friend with someone and actually being in a relationship with someone. And somewhat it's an art that we've somewhat lost. I mean, I don't want to sound like this, you know, crotchety old guy out here saying, you know what the problem with the society is today is no one knows how to build relationships anymore. We still know how to do it, but, you know, it's changed obviously a little bit, and somewhat we do struggle, and we've devalued it a little bit more than we have in generations past. And I honestly think this is a good question to ask. Would this person be at my funeral if I were to die tomorrow? Because I think if we were to be honest with ourselves, most of our coworkers and schoolmates and neighbors would not come to our funeral unless we've gone out of our way to make a conscious effort to be able to build a relationship with this person. And if we've gone out of our way to do that, to make an effort, chances are that person will be there. So I got a question for you. It's a question you can ask yourself. How big will your funeral be? And be honest, is it as big as you want it to be? Is it as big as you'd hoped it would be? If you were to die tomorrow, would it be as big as it should be? Have you been investing your time in the places you need to invest it? Maybe you need to start living more for your funeral instead of living more for your own fulfillment. And I'm challenging us in this way because I think it's an area we need to be challenged in, especially as Canadians. I need to be challenged in this way. How many times have I had to challenge myself and say, where's my time at? I mean, everyone has different capacities, of course, for people. Everyone has a different relational capacity. And sometimes I'm just living far below that. And I'm saying, how many nights am I choosing to keep to myself and not give way to others? This is a hard question. Now, before we get all into this, like I said before, one of the big purposes of relationships is that they have eternal importance because relationship is the only thing you get to take with you when you die, right? It's not stuff. I think we all know that. I don't have to tell you that. You're never going to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You're just never going to see that, right? It's all about relationship. We get to take those with us. Why? Because relationship is indomitable because the human spirit is indomitable. Because we were created in the image of an eternal God, our souls, our spirits are eternal. Therefore, in every person, there is something that is lasting. But as we know, we only get to take those relationships with us if we get to meet them on the other side. Yeah, that's a hard truth to swallow, and I know it's a tough thing to say in Canadian society, but I'll go so far as to say it because the Bible is very clear about that, that there's one way to Jesus, and it is the narrow path. Scripture calls it the narrow path. It says only a few people find it. And relationship is how we're going to help people get there. And unless people find that path, we don't get to take that relationship with us when we die. But I think it's so interesting because God chose to save this world, to reach people in this world through relational beings. And He created us very intentionally to be people of relationship. Therefore, when we reach out to people, it's always going to involve at some level relationship. In Canada today, we cannot deny this. We are far past the days where someone's going to come to faith because they watched on TV some evangelist or whatever. Relationships that are built on trust, that is key. No one is going to do anything unless it comes from somebody that they have a trusting relationship with, and that takes time and energy, my friends. But that's how He wanted it to be, isn't it? We're getting back to a truer sense, I think, of how God wanted us to spread the gospel. And that is through relationship. Sorry. So, are you building relationships close enough with other people? Ask yourself, if I were to die tomorrow, would this person be at my funeral? I think that's a good question to ask because chances are, if the relationship with someone isn't that deep, it won't be deep enough to share with them about the gospel. Because if someone's not willing to show up to my funeral, they're not going to be willing to show up to that event that I invited them to, or to read that book or that article that I suggested, or to ask me questions when they have them, or to come to me at a time of need. But if they'll show up to my funeral, chances are then the relationship is deep enough that they'll do those other things as well. And my friends, in Canada, summer is the time. Summer is the time to build those relationships. It's where everyone comes out of their fortresses and they enjoy the nice weather. It's something to go into someone's fortress, you know, to be invited in. That already requires a relationship. But how do you start that relationship? It starts in the summer. Summer is now. So I say the time is now to start building those relationships, especially initially. And so this Sunday, we want to not only encourage you and challenge you to do that, but we want to actually equip you and empower you to do that. So we're going to do something, what I believe is for the first time here at Sheridan Park Family Church. Last week we talked about tithing, right? It's a hard conversation to have, but we talked about it. Tithing means giving money to the church. Well, this week we're going to do a reverse tithe, which means we're going to practice what we preach and we're going to give back to you. What we're going to have is we're going to have the ushers go around and they're going to be passing around offering plates, but they're going to have money in them. It's going to be there's $5 bills. Before you get, you guys are getting excited, I can tell. Before you get too excited, I'm going to lay out some ground rules here. Of course, one a person, obviously. But I want everyone to take one. And even if you have kids, take them. Because I want you, and you must, spend this money for the purpose of building a relationship with someone who doesn't know Jesus. So what does that mean? You know, it could be taking out a coworker for coffee, inviting your neighbors over for dinner, using that money to help pay for that. You know, and if you have children, then you can take two, you can take one for your kids. We're not going to judge. If you're taking more than that, you don't have kids, hey, we're going to know about that. The Lord sees you here. And that could be a teachable moment for your kids and say, hey, you know, is there someone that you need to build relationships with? Friendships are important, right? And come alongside them and allow them to do that or do that together as a family. I know for myself, kids are a great way to initiate relationships with other people. How many have we had through play dates and that kind of stuff? I mean, even the other day, you know, and last week inviting our neighbors over for dinner that were new to the neighborhood. I mean, it's just, that's how it starts. So, we're going to go ahead and do that now. So I'll have the ushers pass them around. I think everyone gets what we're doing here. And while they're doing that, I'm just going to explain something else. And that is that we're starting this new series, as you know. It's called Connect, today's called Made for Relationship. But the series we're doing this summer is called Connect. And it's all about connecting and building relationships with other people, right? That's what this is all about, right? As you know, in our fall, we're going to do our big fall kickoff. It's going to be a massive event. We're going to be outside. We'll probably do it as a big barbecue. And we'll have bounce house and all that stuff. And we're going to have a really engaging service. And we're going to be starting a new series that is invitational. Those are great times to invite people. But you know what? You can't invite anyone unless they would come to your funeral. So it means you need to have a relationship with someone. So build those relationships. This is a great time to do that. Start now in the summer. And so every week here, we're not going to be giving away money every week, because that would make some people just way too nervous. We're not going to be doing that. But what we are going to do is we're going to give time for you to actually practice relationship and have conversations with each other in the service. And we're going to do that now. We're going to take 5 minutes. And we're going to discuss two questions this week. And these are questions that are going to help you to actually talk about how you're going to live out these messages. This summer is all about that. Summer is about getting out and actually doing things. And so we're saying we're going to teach something and then we're going to tell you to go out and actually do it. And we're going to empower you to do that. So we're going to put the timer up now. We're going to give you 5 minutes. And there's these two questions. So discuss it with someone or someones around you. And then we're going to come back together and sing a song and close out the service.